Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
All right, we're going to jump right into it here right now. I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Let's all say that together. By his stripes we are healed. Once again, by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah was speaking 700 years before the life of Christ, these prophetic words. He was speaking that into the atmosphere of his day, words that would carry on like spears right down for 700 years of human history and would land in the soil of Palestine and Galilee and in Judea and all those places where Jesus was going to minister. And Jesus fulfilled this prophecy so amazingly. We're gonna just take some time here this morning to talk to you about some levels of healing. And then we're going to believe Jesus to heal some people at the end of the service. What do you think? Does that sound good? Hallelujah. All right, let's roll it quickly here, and let's talk first about healings of belief. I'm going to give you three kinds of healings here today. There is a place for everybody in the ministry of healing. Seriously. If you are a born-again believer, there is a place for you. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus says this in verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus says, "And these signs will follow international evangelists." Is that what it says? Oh, no, let's try again here. Okay. "And these signs will follow pastors." Does your Bible say that? No? All right. Now, they do follow pastors, and they do follow international evangelists. But what the Bible really says, Jesus said here, is these signs will follow those who believe. If they follow pastors, if they follow evangelists, it's because they believe. And that means if you believe, these signs can follow you. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Unless they live in Sparta, Wisconsin, where there are no demons. No, I expect you have as many per capita here as any town in the USA. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Now, that's by accident, okay? Pastor Randy and I did not get the sacks of rattlers ready to pass down the aisles here today, you know, like they do in Appalachia. Find out how spiritual all you people are. No, it's if something happens by accident, like happened to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. But here's the one we want to look at, the last one. These are the signs that follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How many times in the gospel record when Jesus healed somebody did he say to them, as your faith is, so be it unto you? Or as you have believed, so you are receiving. Jesus said that many times in the Gospels, and I submit to you that the first and most basic level of healing that we need to understand is healings of belief. Because anybody can do healings of belief. Anybody who is a believer, in fact, everyone scream right out loud, stretch us today, doctor. That was a little weak, but I'll do it anyway, okay? I have found out that in some cases, people don't even have to be believers to minister healing. Now, they become believers pretty soon, usually after it happens. But let me tell you a story about this. I've learned this, what I'm telling you here now, I've learned this the manual way by doing it and experiencing it, okay? We were doing a festival in India, and hundreds of people were getting healed every night, and it was awesome, and we had had a long day. I was very tired. We had pastors' meetings all morning and then the crusade meeting at night. And I am, to be honest with you, I'm looking for the van to take me to the hotel so I can sleep for a few hours, but I don't see it, okay? And somehow this woman from the village gets on the platform, and she comes, and things are breaking up. It's kind of the service is ending, people are leaving, and so forth. But here she comes, and she's got this 12-year-old girl by the hand. And she comes up to me, and I get one of our boys to translate, and this is what she says. This is totally unsolicited. I have never seen this woman in my life. Here's what she says. Sir, this is my daughter. She's 12 years old. She said, 3 months ago, we took her to the temple. That would be the Hindu temple in this town. She said, when we took her there, the priests did the palm leaf ritual on her. So far, it just kind of sounds like a nice little family time, you know? Rites of passage that all religions have. But next she says this, just out of the blue, she says to me, now, I don't know what she knows about Christianity or the Bible or anything. She's been in at least one of our meetings. She's heard the preaching and so forth. But she says, when they did this ritual on her, demons came into her. I said, I said what you said. And she said, we want these demons gone. I said, well, that's good, because I do too. But I am kind of, you know, I'm just, it isn't just that I'm tired. I'm not getting anything. And usually in a situation like that, Pastor Randy knows, I'm Mr. Buh. Let's get these demons out of here and so forth. But I've got no unction for that. So I start asking her questions, and I'm training you right now because many of you are going to heal the sick, and many of you are going to deal with people and demons, people who are demonized in the days and weeks and months that are coming. You know, we constantly cry out to God for revival. Can I tell you, when revival comes, there is a collision between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. And things that have been hidden and covered up for long, long periods of time get exposed out to the light. When we do our meetings in Tanzania on an average night, we actually have a demon deliverance tent right behind the platform. We don't fool around. I mean, we typically cast demons out of 100 to 200 people every night. And they're set free, and they start loving Jesus, and it's wonderful. But this woman, I started asking questions, and that's what I'm training you right now. If you're not quite sure what to do, start asking questions. So I said to her several questions, and she gave some answers. And then finally, my spirit really landed on the question. And I said, where is your husband, the girl's father? And she gave this long, vague answer that I didn't even understand with the translation. And then the Spirit of God came on me. And I prophesied to the girl. I pointed my finger right into her chest, and I said to the mother, "This girl is going to be delivered completely from these demons. But it's going to be in the presence of her human father. He's going to be there when it happens." That's all I had. That's all I said. You know what that woman did? She grabbed that girl by the hand, whirled around, and went marching off the platform. And I said to myself, well, this is really going to be good, or I don't know. You know? So next day we come back. We have all our stuff in the daytime, and at night we come back for the festival. They found him. I don't know where he was. And right at 7 o'clock, our starting time, the father, the mother, and the girl come walking through the streets of the village to come to the festival site to join the crowd. Now, when we start out and when we arrive there and we get ready to do these meetings, there's a couple of things we always do. One of them is we always prayer walk the line of the blood of Jesus around the grounds very carefully and deliberately, all the way around, no matter how large the field is. We do that. So, the father, the mother, and the girl come, and right, wouldn't you know it, right at starting time, I'm up on the platform trying to get our guys organized and do and all this. And as the girl's feet cross over that line of the blood of Jesus, the demons in her start choking her and start making quite a disturbance. And they're back, I mean a long ways back from the platform, but I see this. And I recognize the woman, and I'm trying to, you know, do my thing up there on the platform. So I had two American pastors with me, Pastor Mark from Illinois and Pastor Joel from Ohio. And I turned to them and I said, "You guys go down there and take care of this. We got to get this meeting started." And they went down there, and I'm glad they did, because they saw some things that very few Americans ever see. They saw a 12-year-old girl being choked to death by unseen hands. They could see the imprint of the hands and the fingers in her throat. Okay? How many want to go on a mission trip with us here? Okay, we're getting hands here, Pastor. Hallelujah. So Pastor Mark kind of took the lead there, bless his heart. Actually, he's pastoring up in Minnesota now. They rebuked in English. They tried using our guys with Telugu. They spoke in tongues. They tried everything they knew, and the girl was just getting worse. And finally, Pastor Mark looked down on his father's chest. He had one of those little miniature idols that so many of them wear, hanging on a lanyard around his neck. When Pastor Mark looked down at the thing, the eyes on it glowed red at him, a piece of wood. He said, this is more than a piece of wood. And he said to the father, "If you want to see your daughter alive, rip that thing off your neck and throw it to the ground." The father ripped it off his neck, dropped it. The instant it hit the ground, there was a gasp of air as the hands came off the girl's throat. The demons left her, and she was perfectly okay. Give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in that whole encounter there, I believe it was a healing of belief, our first kind we're talking about here today. And somebody had faith in that healing of belief. And now, you know, I was involved, but I don't think it was really my faith. And Pastor Mark and Pastor Joel were involved. And they played a role. But you know who I think really had the faith that loosed that whole thing? I think it was that woman. Oh, and by the way, then after that happened, they entered the crowd, and when we gave the altar call that night, the first three in line to get saved were the father, the mother, and the girl, all getting saved together. Hallelujah. Receiving Jesus as a household. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, you know what, Pastor Randy? I just feel a freedom here today. I am just going to release a word. There are going to be household salvations that are going to happen here with people coming into this house. You all know how difficult it is when a mother by herself or a father by himself or a child or all this, and praise God for every precious soul that gets saved, amen? But when household salvations happen, it's powerful. And I release that word into here. Household salvations are going to begin to come here all across this Sparta region, and people are going to show up here. I'm talking about husbands, wives, and children together getting saved and entering into the house of the Lord and into the fellowship of the saints. Let's give the Lord some praise here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what happened there, and that's what's going to happen here. Hallelujah. But that woman had faith. How do I know? Because she acted. Faith without works is dead. Think about that woman for a moment. She didn't have a Bible. She didn't know anything about Christianity except what she heard that night. All she had was one prophecy that came out of my mouth, but she believed it. And she took action on it, and she went and found the father, the husband, and her daughter got set free. Hallelujah. And they all got saved. I mean, how good is that? Hallelujah. Well, everyone scream, I got to have another level, doctor. All right. Healings by gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's another whole level. There are a number of the gifts of the Spirit. We're not going to take the time here this morning to read, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A number of those gifts that are very, very useful in the ministry of healing. For example, words of knowledge. It's where God just drops a piece of information into you that you couldn't possibly know about a person in your natural self, and you just release that. And it causes faith to rise, and it's amazing. We've, of course, seen it happen in our ministry many times. But the two gifts in that list there that probably need the most attention, we'll just touch on them here this morning, are gifts of healings. Both words are plural, by the way. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And then the other one is working of miracles. They're both in that list of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And it's important to understand the difference between these two. In gifts of healings, you don't necessarily get the whole thing all in one package deal. What happens is both words are plural because there's going to be a repeated coming of the power of the Holy Spirit to heal over a period of time. And it might be a day, and it might be a week, and it might be a month. We don't have control over that. The important point is the person keeps getting better and better and better. And those of you that were ministered to here in the first service and you didn't get an instantaneous miracle, I want to encourage your heart. It may be this gift of the Holy Spirit that is working upon you, and you felt the presence of God, you felt the touch of God. I'm telling you, you're going to be better tonight, and you're going to be better yet tomorrow, and by the end of the week, you're going to be better yet until you get to the complete healing. That's how that gift works. Working of miracles is a gift where you get it spontaneously and instantaneously all at once, and it all happens. And of course, that's what everybody wants all the time. Let's be honest. Okay, but I want to encourage you today, as you're ministered to, if you don't get the operation of working of miracles, Don't be discouraged. God is at work. And I've got a story I'll tell you really quickly about that happened right here in Wisconsin. In fact, up in Appleton. Sherry and I ministered to a young lady in the month of August that year. Her condition was she was losing the use of her jaw. And the doctors were making the plans for how she was going to feed herself when her jaw finally totally locked up. She came for prayer. So we laid our hands on her and prayed for her. We left from there. September went by. October went by. November went by. We left and went to India. We came back from India in the middle of December, and we saw a light blinking that said we had a message on our answering machine. I pushed the button, and here's what the voice said. "Hi, this is Lori from Appleton. Today is December 5th. I'm calling you today because I've been getting better and better and better ever since you prayed for me in August, but today is the first day I can say I have all the freedom of the use of my jaw and no pain of any kind, and I'm completely healed." We said, you remember that, dear? It was awesome. We said, hallelujah. Gifts of healing. She kept getting more gifts and more gifts and more healings until she was completely whole. Hallelujah. And some people wonder, well, hey, did Jesus ever do this? Yes, Jesus did. You remember the guy with the eyes? Jesus ministered to him first. He saw men as trees walking. Then he came back again. He said, hey, it's like tree, guys, a tree. Oh, okay, boom. So he prayed again. Or ministered to him again, and he was completely healed. So this is our second level, healings by gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everyone scream right out loud, "I got to have that third one, doctor." Okay, here it is. It's healings by the presence. Healings by the presence, capital P. Where the presence of God comes so strong and so concentrated that people just spontaneously are healed and receive miracles and new parts in their bodies and all kinds of stuff like that. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17 says this. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And then here's the last sentence of the verse. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, Jesus was just standing there. He probably was teaching. It says he was teaching, actually. But the presence was so strong, people were just getting healed while he taught. And actually, we have this in our meetings overseas all the time. When we get up and we just release for about 5 minutes, we just declare healing. We name names of diseases and infirmities and all kinds of things, and then we ask for testimonies. And most nights, dozens of people. A lot of times, we can't even take all the testimonies. No one lays a hand on them. No, most of these people never even heard about what healing was before they came to this meeting. It's just that presence came so strong. They were healed. One such person is a woman named Krishna in a village called Banaganapali. She was so loaded with demons that she would wander out into the forest and they'd have to search for her for days sometime to even find her. Her mind was so gone. In one of those times, we were just releasing healing en masse over the crowd. She was completely set free of those demon spirits. She came 10 minutes later. I watched it happen before my eyes, actually. And She came and stood on the platform 10 minutes later and testified, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit in what I would say is the most powerful baptism of the Spirit I have ever seen. She got heavy, weighty with the kavod, the weightiness of the glory of God. It took three men to move her to the back of the platform, and she's a little 90-pound skinny lady. She became the evangelist of that village. And as far as I know, she still is today. It was amazing. So those are the three levels of healing. And I just declare to you today that there's a place for everybody in the ministry of healing. There really is. You know, it used to be about the man on the platform and superstars and all this and lights and cameras and all. It isn't about that anymore. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the followers of Jesus, seeing him for who he really is, the Savior, the healer, the deliverer, and then believing that he just wants to move through you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.